and welcome again to the Yes and I Am podcast, the podcast where we learn about people. I'm Aaron Max, and today's guests are really special. They're kind of like New York royalty when you think about it, because these guys, you know, you wake up with them every day to get your lowdown of what's going on in pop culture. I'm talking about Kelly Ripa and Ryan Seacrest. How's it going, guys?
It's going great, Regis. I mean, Aaron.
Yeah, it's... Calm down.
Oh wow. Oh,
wow.
Okay.
Ryan.
So
hostile.
So we're recording in the afternoon. You guys just must have recorded your show earlier today. How's it going? I know, Ryan, you're still very new to the show.
Yeah, I'm still getting my legs. Kelly is sort of the queen of the show, and I just have to, you know, kind of toe the line.
Oh, I'm not the only queen of the show.
Well, I just have to make sure that I don't, do anything wrong, and just make sure that everything goes smoothly, and just, you know, try to keep
now,
place.
Ryan, it sounds like you're a little nervous about losing your job. I know, Kelly, you've been quoted recently of saying when Michael Strahan left the show that you've kind of felt blindsided, that, like, no one informed you about it. I feel like there's a little hostility towards you and the producers. What's going on there?
Not at all. They respect me. I respect them greatly. When Michael left the show, I wished him well. I did. I was like, Michael, you know.
Yeah, because he's on Good Morning America now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know that show.
It's the show that opens up for your show. Like.
Oh, so they're like the, they're our warm-up act.
It's while you're still in wardrobe.
Yeah, you go through
hair. Thank you for noticing.
Go through hair and makeup. Guys look great, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, you, like, whoever does your wardrobe, kudos to them, because you guys always look perfect on TV, you know? I can't say that for all morning shows, but you guys always look great.
I have to hand it to Ryan, though. He is a beautiful man. Ryan, I sometimes can't look at you directly.
Well, I do give off a glow. It's the product that I use.
Really?
Yes. I'll give you some if you want.
Yeah, you big into skincare, Ryan?
Skincare, hair care, hair treatments, just anything to make myself look good.
And younger. You know, you wouldn't believe it, but Ryan is actually 75 years old.
No, I'm not. Don't say that. Don't say that.
75.
That's not true. That's not provable.
A compliment.
There are no records that show how old I actually am.
That's right, because Ryan destroyed them all.
Wow.
Good for him.
You do seem very private about your personal life, Ryan. There's been speculation over the years that, like, why haven't you ever been married and such?
Well, I'm just trying to find the right person.
Okay. Ding, ding, ding. We're here.
Kelly, you are...
of course I'm married.
Married. you have several kids.
Kidding.
Yeah, you're married to the actor Mark Consuelos.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing really well right now. He's on the show Riverdale. I'm a big fan of the show. He's great on it.
It is great. I like to be like... Oh, Mark, when you come home, please just stay in character.
His character is kind of harsh on the show. He's very ruthless. But yeah, no, he's doing great right now.
Mm-hmm.
How are the kids? Because you tend to talk about your kids a lot on the show.
Yes, a lot.
They're great. I brought five of them with me.
Is Joaquin here?
Joaquin is here. Joaquin, do that thing that you do for mommy. No, put the flask down.
Wow, okay.
I'm sorry about your cat.
He does that all the time.
Yeah, no, I generally try to keep kids away from the show just because, you know, you never know what kids are gonna do. They're kind of a wild card.
They are. It's like that show, let's embarrass children on TV.
Which one? Because there's the Cosby.
Kids say the darndest
thing.
The
Cosby
one. Cosby.
I was up for the host of that, but, you know, I had, there was a conflict.
Yeah, like, Steve Harvey now has his own, like, iteration of that show, too, where he brings on kids and they show off their, like, special talents. But yeah, now that you mentioned, you have done a lot of like hosting gigs, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, I'm good on the camera.
Yeah, you were on American Idol for a long time.
Yeah, that's
long,
right.
Like 52 years.
It was less than that, and there was a, what was that guy's name? There was another host with me at the beginning.
Oh, Ryan Dunkelman.
Nobody remembers him.
Ryan Dunkelman.
Dunkelman. He was sort of a doppelganger of me. He was a lesser version of myself, and he had to go.
Yeah, it's interesting how he disappeared.
He disappeared.
His claim on that was that he wanted to negotiate like more money, and he just also didn't want to like be in the spotlight anymore. And like, it's kind of funny because you hear interviews with him today, and he very much regrets like giving up on that golden calf that was American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the cream rises.
Oh, apparently. Now, Ryan, you tend to know a lot about celebrity news. You were working for E! For a long time.
Yes.
Why the fascination with celebrities?
Because they give off a glow that I feel can reflect on me. And if anyone shines on me, it just makes me look better.
I would have to say that people are very fascinated by celebrities because celebrities are just like us. They really are. They're just like us. I mean, I see a picture of a celebrity and I'm like, I go to the Stop and Shop with my five nannies every day, just like everybody, just like me. You know, the stars are just like me. I have to spend time, you know, at the spa. They're just like me.
I personally would consider you a celebrity as well.
My 12 children are adorable in Gucci sunglasses.
I'm sure they are. But yet again, like, you do have to keep yourself grounded. How do you guys keep yourself grounded, by the way? How do you not let this, like, fame of being on TV every day not go to your head?
Well, for 3 hours every day, I take off all product. I sit in the nude. And I drink pure seltzer water.
And when he's done doing that, he usually comes over to my dressing room, still in the nude, drinking seltzer water, and yells at me. And that keeps me grounded.
Wow, okay. How's the transition been from, like, Michael Strahan to Ryan Seacrest? Because they're definitely very different people. You know, very different personalities, and it sounds like you kind of have a different workspace now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wear contact lenses, and they're very, very heavy prescriptions. I'm actually legally blind. I can't drive myself, even if I were what I call a normie and didn't have my own driver. But I take them out, and I just squint my eyes even more, and I just picture Regis Philbin's beautiful face on their heads.
Regis was a beautiful man.
He's still alive as far as I know.
Well, I haven't seen him in a long time.
And he's dead to me.
Yeah.
Oh, so once he left the show, dead to you?
Pretty much that's how I am with everybody. It's just too confusing.
So is Michael dead to you?
He's definitely dead to me.
Okay.
But I mean that, but I wish him the best. I wish him the best.
Ryan, since you're the new guy, what has it been to, like, adjust to the show? Because you're not used to, like, working every day.
No, that's right. And the dressing room is quite a bit smaller than I'm used to. I don't know how Michael survived in there. He is a big, bulking man. But the workload is a strain. I have to shampoo twice as often as I used to.
I guess what I'm trying to ask is, what is going on behind the scenes? Because I know our listeners are always dying to know what the camera doesn't capture, what celebrities are doing that we all want to know about.
Well, there's often when we have a guest, they have certain expectations and certain demands that they need to or enable to function.
Can you give us an example of someone you've had on recently?
We had the daughter of Mr. T.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mr. T, by the way, friend of the show, been on the podcast.
Yes.
He's doing great.
Yes. And she required a feathered boa and a peacock.
Really?
Yes.
Like,
I know there was a recent controversy on the news. I don't know when this podcast is coming out, but, like, recently on the news, someone wasn't allowed to take their peacock onto a plane.
Well, that's just ridiculous.
And it was just a controversy.
Well, I mean, that's just ridiculous.
I mean, if you have a peacock, you should be able to take it wherever you want to go. It's a comfort animal.
If you were living the peacock lifestyle where you would own a security animal that's a peacock, shouldn't you be just taking your own plane?
That's true. That's true. There is more room on your own plane. But, I mean, you can understand that someone might have an emergency. And
frankly, I think that woman was slumming it, you know, and just rubbing it in everybody's face with her peacock.
Well, I mean, I've had to take a commercial transport at, you know, a different
time. Now, Mr. T's daughter, did you find the peacock distracting? Do you feel like people, like, you understand why people wouldn't want a peacock on a plane?
Well, you know, the peacock, the sweat glands provide a wonderful elixir. You can mix that with some Chardonnay.
Which was the problem because Mr. T's daughter, Tina T, she was very upset when Ryan sucked her peacock.
Wait, you sucked the peacock?
Well, that's the only way to extract the sweat from the peacock.
Did Mr. T's daughter know this? Did Tina know that there was an elixir from a peacock? Or did she think you were making this up?
Well, no, she knew. I thought we had an agreement where she was going to let me, but I was in the middle of extracting the elixir, and she came in and started shouting at me.
I think there was a miscommunication there, frankly. I really do think that there was one. Ryan, and you crossed a line. You did.
Now, I know that you have... On the show, the one constant for live has been your producer, Gelman.
Gelman, if you're out there.
Yeah, what did he feel about this peacock incident? Because I know he's usually, like, juggling all these, like, acts. I know you bring animals onto the show sometimes and all this craziness. I'm sure, like, a curveball, like, bringing your personal therapy peacock onto the show... is a little bit crazy to deal with.
Well, I mean, he's been fine. He's just a rock. He really is. He rolls with the punches. The only thing that he's just worried about is Kathy Lee. Kathy Lee is constantly sneaking in, so he thought that this was a distraction, that she set the peacock up, and it was just a way for her to get back on set.
So Kathy Lee's always just trying to come back to set?
Oh, yeah, she's there now.
I mean, she has her own show. She's got Kathy Lee and Hoda on NBC, but she still wants to come back to live?
Yeah, it's her baby. She thinks that this was her creation.
It wasn't even her creation to begin with.
Oh, tell that to Kathy Lee.
Because before her and Regis, it was actually a radio... You guys were a radio program with Regis and Cindy Garvey. And I guess... Like, it grew its popularity with Kathy Lee?
It didn't even start with Regis and Garvey. It was really just a conversation in a diner that was Regis and his neighbor Linda.
Oh.
Yeah.
So Regis was really like, I need to get myself talking on to air.
It started out, Linda was a shut-in. She was 75 years old, like Ryan. And... she was a shun. She didn't get out much, so that was Regis' way of drawing her out. It really started out as a very philanthropic, very nice thing that he was doing. But then people just started listening in on their conversation, and they found it fascinating. In fact, Jerry Seinfeld, that's where the whole premise of every episode that they had where they were hanging out at a diner, having conversations, all just comes back to Regis. Regis started that. Regis was the one who started having conversations with lonely people in diners.
So do you think celebrities are lonely people?
Oh, God, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
So do you feel like you're bringing them a service along with your fans? That, like, what you're doing interviewing them is kind of keeping them company?
Yeah.
Well, I think it fills a hole for them. I don't think it really satisfies the human need for companionship.
And human contact. Physical contact.
Yeah, again, you bring up human companionship. Do you feel like you have a hole in your life that you need to fill with companionship, Ryan?
Well, I mean, I am a celebrity, and like all celebrities, there is a hole that we try to fill on screen and on radio. But it doesn't quite do the trick. You need a warm body sometimes, and that's almost never available.
Ryan, I think it's about time you came clean. You know, we've hosted this show for a while now, and I feel like we've gotten very close, and I consider you a friend. I think it's time you opened up to the listeners that when you mean you need human contact, you're not quite human anymore, are you, Ryan?
I'm very human. I was born from a human woman and a human man, and over time I've found ways to enhance my humanity.
Yes, with other humans.
I'm not sure what you're getting at.
I'm getting
Kelly,
like a Dorian Gray feeling going on here.
No.
Are you immortal, Ryan?
I'm younger than I appear, but I'm immortal.
He is immortal. I've been trying to kill him for a long time now, and I think it's brought us closer.
Well, I mean, your attempts were rather amateurish. I mean, there were some people who tried and got a lot closer. Like, I think there was, what was that guy's name? Roosevelt. Yeah, he did a lot better than you did. I mean, he was a hunter and an outdoorsman, but he couldn't take me down.
No one can take you down, Ryan. No. I wouldn't want to. No. I wouldn't. You know, after I took down Michael Strather, I should not have said that.
Well,
wow.
I think the cat is out of the bag now, Kelly.
So
I'm sure I'd love to have Michael on the show to give his side of this story.
Well, you wouldn't be talking to the real Michael anymore.
Oh.
Yeah.
So when you said earlier that once people are off the show, they're dead to you.
Yeah, I was being literal. That's actually, Kelly is a ripper.
Oh,
I am
wow.
the ripper.
Well, wow. they're not.
Kelly
they're,
the ripper.
They're not.
That's who I am.
Dead, per se.
Oh,
they're dead. They're more undead.
That's fair.
Because Michael came to me in his final moments, and he asked if I could help, so I gave him a little bit of what I have.
Peacock elixir.
Yeah, and that's why he's still there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's him, it's his body, it's his mass, but it's, you know, inside there's something else.
All right. Well, this has been fascinating, but I want to stop us right here and move on to our speed round of questions, if you don't mind. We're going to play a couple games.
Okay.
You guys, all right. First game we're going to play is Fuck, Marry, Kill. Are you guys familiar with that game?
Oh, God.
Yes.
All right, basically, I'm going to list three names. You tell me which category each name goes into. First name, Regis Philbin. Second name, Kathy Lee Gifford. Third name, Michael Strahan.
Well, I think we know the answer to at least one of those already.
Okay, well, you know, Regis, kill, kill, kill. Kathy, kill, kill, kill. And Michael, kill, kill, kill.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems that Kathy Lee is still very much, according to your story, is still very much alive.
In a manner of speaking.
And trying to get back on the show.
Yeah. She's
Brian, do you have categories?
Well, let's see. Kathy Lee, marry, because she's a goddess, and she taught me everything I know. Regis, kill Regis, because he's an old thing, and he deserves to be gone. And who was the other one? Michael Strahan?
Yeah.
Michael Strahan, Michael Strahan, marry, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
and
it does seem like you'd make a great husband.
Yeah.
Aren't you afraid that you would offend the ghost of Dick Clark?
Dick Clark.
We didn't even get into the fact that you now host New Year's Rocking Eve.
Yes, well, yeah, I do. Dick Clark still advises me. I can't really explain how that happens. I would have to extract, you know, your soul, but... he comes to me and he gives me advice about the show and how to deal with the cold weather. It doesn't really bother me that much. I don't have that much feeling in my extremities anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But Dick Clark's a good guy.
He's a good one. He's a good egg.
Wow. Oh, this has been crazy. All right, we're going to move into our final game. We're going to do a little bit of word association. Basically, I will say a word and you guys say the first thing that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
First word, talk.
Show.
Kelly.
Show.
Talk.
Kelly.
Daytime.
Talk show.
Sunshine.
TV.
There's a talk show on it right now.
Embarrassment.
News.
Not talk shows are newsworthy.
Not familiar.
Social media.
Is an anathema to talk shows.
It's godlike.
Celebrity.
Ryan.
Light. Sunshine.
Emmy.
Award-winning Kelly Ripa.
I have to second that.
Co-host.
Not needed.
Oh.
Oh, God. Oh, Ryan, I'm sorry. That just came out. I didn't mean that.
All right. Well, that's about all we have time for today. Is there anything you guys want to plug, say, before you go?
Well, I would say that if anybody is around on the 4th of June that night, we're going to have a ceremony. We will be meeting some of our old friends. Frank Sinatra will be there. Actually, all the Rat Pack will be mm-hmm. there.
A pack of rats.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, that sounds like it's going to be a hell of a party. Well, thank you again, Kelly, Ryan, for coming out here. It has been very enlightening. And thank you all for listening. And we will see you all next time. Thank you again for listening to the Yes and I Am podcast. This podcast has been completely improvised, so instead of having the real Ryan Seacrest and Kelly Ripa here, it has been Jamie and Nanette from the Improvisational Repertory Theater Ensemble. How's it going, guys?
Good. Thank you for having us, Aaron.
Thank you for coming out here. It's been a lot of fun. Are you guys familiar with Ryan and Kelly?
Somewhat,
yeah. I stopped watching that show. If I did watch that show, it was only when Regis and Kathy Lee were there.
Oh.
And I kind of remember the whole, betrayal of Michael's, whatever. It's like, God forbid he got a better job.
It definitely sparked some news controversy, I remember.
Yeah.
I had no clue you guys were coming into this show, so I was like, who is widely spread known amongst the, global mind, and I was like, oh no, American Idol Ryan Seacrest.
It's not like we were going to use any factual information.
Yeah. But it's good to know, kind of who you're playing.
Yeah.
You know? What's a short way of saying your group's name?
Erdie.
Erdie. Great. So, Erdie. Well, tell me a little more about Erdie.
Well, Erdie, we are comedy theater company that we mix. The popular elements of improvisational comedy, the spontaneity, the fun of it, with a lot of traditional aspects of staged theater that you're used to. So we have a full season of 4 completely different shows that have different genres, themes. They have some props, some costumes. Our first show, they're always narrative-based, very character-driven, very weird. We use props that are types of stuff that you would find at Party City or a 5 and Dime store, so our aesthetic is kind of raw and trashy.
Hey, but that works great for improv, you know? I'm sure all the sketch comedy teams out there definitely have their share of dollar store props.
Yeah, that's our look and we like it. So our first show, for instance, we are doing a show called What's New, Groovy Gang, which is a spoof of Scooby-Doo, Josie and the Pussycats, Jabberjaw, those sort of shows from the early 70s.
The very Hanna-Barbera.
Yes, the Hanna-Barbaric.
Cool.
And I mean that in the best way.
So how many people are on your team or your group, your ensemble, as you would say?
There are 5 regular members, and then we have guests. So we're going to have 3 guests.
We're going to have 3 guests.
3 guests for this upcoming show.
3 guest,
guest
actors.
Performers, yes. And we'll have different guests throughout the season.
And we'll also have guest musical acts,
yes,
because all our shows feature a musical act as well, because there's so many great indie.
So the musical act just perform their own original pieces, or do they join the improv going on?
It depends. Some do, some don't. Some are very much standalone, that they have their own interlude, of their own piece for 15 minutes, and then some we incorporate in the show. For instance, we don't really know how they're going to be incorporated yet into Groovy Gay.
How long is the show typically, by the way?
An hour.
Mm-hmm. Great, cool. What time does it normally run? I know we're getting into plug territory here.
Plug. It's at 8 o'clock Fridays and Saturday nights. We start at the end of March, the 23rd, 24th, 30th, 31st. Mm-hmm. It's an hour long show. We're at the Producers Club. We encourage drinking. So, mm-hmm. There's a bar there, so you can buy your treats for the show and enjoy it during. As if you were watching your cartoons on a Saturday morning with your
nice
mucus.
Nice glass of whiskey.
So which part of the Producers Club are you in? Are you in that, bar section over there?
No, we're in the theater.
In the theater, okay.
Yeah, one of the theaters.
I was about to say, I know they have, several there.
Yeah.
Cool beans. Is there anything else you want to plug? Do you guys have any social media that we can follow you guys at?
Yeah, check us out online. Our website is irteinfo.com, and we're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram when we remember to take pictures.
I will remember to do that next time.
Jamie's sometimes supposed to take pictures and then
gets
really involved with other things.
Other things are more foremost on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Anything else? Is that about it?
Come see us. It's fun. We have the Groovy Gang. Then we have the Adventures of the Diabolical Dr. Fiend. And then Ernie Moore. And then our last show of the season is Wowie 2, Adventures of a Little Girl Killbot.
All right. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Go check them out. Also, if you guys haven't checked out our Instagram yet, we're at Yes and I Am. Go check us out there. If you guys haven't given us a review on iTunes yet, go do that because it helps more people find the show. Thank you all for listening, and thanks you, Jamie and Nanette, for coming out here. It has been a blast, and we will see you all next time.